I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Amazing FBA. This is the place to be for UK-based Amazon sellers, for that matter, as well. Quite a lot of US-based people listening, some Australians, some guys from Germany, India, actually quite an international audience. So welcome for wherever you are. This will apply to you wherever you are in the world. This is all about mindset. This is part of our mindset series, and we're working our way through the amazing book that is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Not the slickest title in the world, but Stephen Covey died very recently, I think in the last few years ago, but he created an incredible book here. And having revisited it very thoroughly for the podcast and this series of podcasts, indeed, I can tell you that I think it's never before been needed so much as in the days we live in now, and the sort of space of Amazon sellers, for whatever reason, ends up being very, very focused on hacks and little sort of tactical stuff. And this mindset stuff actually is, I think, the stuff that really moves the needle. So we've done the preliminary stuff. Inside Out was the last one. If you didn't catch that, get over to amazingfba.com/mindset, which is where we're collecting these episodes together into a whole series of stuff you can listen to and watch. Indeed, if you're listening to this, just know that over there you can watch a series of keynote slides, in other words, presentation, slide deck presentations, which may help you get your head around this stuff. So without further ado, let's get into habit number one, which is be proactive. Let's find out what that's all about from Mr. Covey. So habit one is be proactive. And that's the first of the 7 habits, although it's not the first content that we've had from the book. There's actually a lot of very important stuff that precedes this. So please do go and watch and or listen to those episodes. If you want to watch it, they're available at the blog under amazingfba.com/mindset. And that is important. But habit one is be proactive. So what does proactive mean? Well, if we compare it to the opposite, which is the idea of determinism, we can start to dig around into the roots of what does it all mean on a sort of philosophical level, but also in a practical level as well. So determinism is the belief that we're largely determined by conditioning and conditions. And there are 3 types, according to Covey. There's genetic, psychic, and environmental determinism. So let's have a look at what that means in practice. Genetic determinism is your grandparents did it to you. Okay. So in other words, it's about your genes, what you've inherited from both sets of grandparents and of course from your parents. And that's, I suppose, a slightly more recent thing, but it goes back to Victorian times for that matter. Psychic determinism basically says your parents did it to you. And that certainly goes back to Freud, right? Okay. The classic Freudian question, tell me about your mother. It's almost a cliche, right? But there is some truth in that potentially, if you believe in this, you know, what your character's formed of nature and nurture, in other words, from your grandparents, the genes you inherited and your nurture, in other words, how you were brought up, then that is your belief that your way is set for life. And then environmental determinism says your boss or your spouse or your financiers or the politicians did it to you. And goodness knows there's never a shortage of political people to blame, right? In Britain, in a few months' time, we can blame Brexit for everything. And if you're American, you can probably blame Trump for everything. But, you know, how useful is this? Okay, let's look into what's the theory behind this. The stimulus response is kind of the theory behind the environmental determinism or the psychic determinism bit. The theory is we're conditioned like Pavlov's dogs to respond to stimulus. So Pavlov, another kind of late 19th century psychologist, basically trained dogs to associate a bell ringing with when they got fed. So they eventually would just salivate in response to just a bell. And that's a very famous Pavlovian response. But is this accurate? This is Covey's question. How accurately do these deterministic maps describe the territory? In other words, real life. Viktor Frankl is another psychologist of the Austro-German school, and he was like Freud, sort of raised in the idea of this sort of determinism that your childhood would determine your personality. And then he went through the incredible suffering of being a concentration camp inmate and survivor. And of course, that includes not just the horrific experiences of the concentration camps under the Nazis, but also survivor guilt and everything else. But what he concluded from this extraordinary and an incredible experience, you know, incredibly intense, incredibly destructive experience. But he determined that he was a self-aware being who could look as an observer at his own involvement so that he could function not only as a human being responding to what's going on, but actually was aware of his own responses. He could decide within himself how all of this was going to affect him. Now, bear in mind, I just want to pause here and just say how profound this is. I mean, most of us, I mean, pretty much none of us, apart from, you know, I know a few older people who have experienced similar things, but most people of my generation or the next generation up will not have experienced anything quite as horrific as that, with the odd exception, right? I know with veterans or people with hereditary diseases or horrendous diseases. But that's a pretty extraordinary thing to be able to say. So if it's true in a concentration camp, I'd imagine it's probably true if all we do is talk and type and order things from, you know, online. I'd imagine that it's going to be true for all of us. Here's his key insight. Between what happened to him or the stimulus and his response was a freedom or power to choose that response. And this is the essence of what Covey says we can do. So the idea of freedom versus liberty, through a series of disciplines, he had more freedom than his Nazi captors. They had more liberty, more options to choose from in their environment. We had more freedom, more internal power to exercise his options. Again, I just want to let that sink in. I'm going to say it again. His Nazi captors had more liberty, more options to choose from in their environment, but he had more freedom, more internal power to exercise his options, to choose which of his options he would do. Within the freedom to choose was self-awareness, imagination, conscience, and independent will. So this then brings a very profound definition of proactivity. It means more than merely taking initiative, which is often what, you know, be proactive would be the sort of thing a boss would say to an underling, and including me, you know, underling sounds very bad, but you know, somebody that you're employing you get the idea. It means that as human beings, we are responsible for our own lives. Our behavior is a function of decisions, not our conditions. And again, that's quite a profound statement. Responsibility, as he splits it up, is your ability to choose your response. So the behavior of a proactive person is a product of their own conscious choice based on values rather than the product of their condition based on feeling. And again, I'd like to just underline the idea of values, of which you have decided consciously and probably unconsciously, but you made conscious. And then the conditions and feelings, because I think being based on feelings is a very common thing that we base things on our whims and our emotions. And the thing is, that is never going to get you very far in life, in the difficulties in a relationship or in business or anything else, really. So the ability to subordinate an impulse, to subordinate an impulse to a value, is the essence of a proactive person. Reactive people are driven by their feelings, by circumstances, by their conditions, by their environment. Being a proactive person, proactive people are driven by values. They're carefully thought about, selected, and internalized. Also very important, I think. And proactive people are still influenced by external stimuli, whether physical, social, or psychological. So they don't live in a vacuum, but their response to the stimuli, conscious or unconscious, is a value-based choice or response. And again, just to give you an idea, I mean, if you get, let's put it in practical terms, if you get a supplier get in touch with you and there's been a huge problem with your shipment, it's late or they've broken something, or the inspection company gets in touch with you and says that this shipment's failed inspection because there's loads of errors, you're going to probably feel an initial anger. But what you choose to do next, whether you feed that anger or just let go of it and go, right, what do we need to do to make this happen? That's the sort of thing that I repeatedly experience with when I do it well, and also on the bad side of that, when I react badly in my life and business and how that works. And normally you can react badly and still get somewhere, but it drains your own emotional energy and also puts a strain on relationships. And we'll explore more what Covey's view is of all this stuff. But Franklin has really three central types of values that he identified. One is the experiential, what happens to us. That can be very important if we interpret it the right way. The second one is creative. What do we make? That's a very high value as well. And particularly for people like entrepreneurs who really want to make their own thing, you know. And then attitudinal, or our responses to challenges and life as well. And really, our basic nature is to act and not be acted upon. And then the attitudinal one is the most important shift we can make. The difference between people who don't exercise initiative and those who do is night and day. And as Covey says, I'm talking about a 5,000% plus difference. Very important to recognize just how powerful this stuff is, really. The other thing to think about is business and initiative. Obviously, I would say particularly for entrepreneurs, this is such a major thing. Businesses can be proactive. The organization does not have to be at the mercy of the environment. It can take the initiative to accomplish shared values. And that's just scratching the tip of the iceberg, I would say. I mean, if you are starting business, particularly in the new business, is more or less aimed at those because they're the ones who seem to struggle the most with this, but everyone does to a degree. I think I certainly do. You know, you are your business to start with, and you can certainly involve VAs and create SOPs and standard operating procedures and processes, and you should. But to start with, it is you. So basically, if you're not proactive and you are at the mercy of your environment, then you are never going to really get somewhere. It's just you're depending on the winds of change to go in your direction. It's never going to happen. A couple of examples, and I'll include one embarrassing one about myself just to show that I don't think I'm any better than anyone else really sometimes. But an example, I was talking with a mentoring client the other day, and she was saying that he got in contact with some suppliers in China recently, and this is being recorded mid-October. So there's obviously one of the Chinese many Chinese holidays happens around that time. And then before that, one of her suppliers was off, you know, abroad somewhere, had not really got any response about it and was feeling like deflated. And I said, okay, so how many suppliers have you contacted? And she just contacted one, and it's not a crime, but I said, okay, so look, be proactive, have a list of supplier at 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5. And they're maybe not the perfect people, but you've got to keep pestering, which you had done with the first supplier, which is good. And you've got to keep trying alternative avenues as well and accept some delays. And that doesn't really mean anything in the wider scheme of things. I mean, there's nothing much to be read into a delay when somebody's abroad or just on holiday, except that, you know, there's a delay, but that doesn't really affect your ability to construct a business. And this was just entirely typical of many newbie sellers or people who haven't actually sold anything yet, because of course they haven't actually made it real. It's not become real for them. They haven't had the money come into their own account, which you can actually spend like any other money. You know, it seems like online is this mythical land. It doesn't seem real. And until you make your own money, it very often doesn't, which is why our course, the PLP course, is so geared to getting people making a little bit of money, albeit tiny amounts, as early as possible in the process. So if you want to check that out, amazingfba.com/PLP, and we'll tell you a little bit more about it at the end of this presentation if that's of interest. But I think it's so important. So don't wait for things to happen. If there's something out of your control and you wait, then you are basically handing over control of your life and your business growth to somebody else, and it probably isn't going to happen because your supplier doesn't particularly care about you. No reason why they should either. I mean, if you're just a random person who's not even spent any money with them for samples, then, you know, why would they? So you're the only person who's going to care the most about your business. So a little bit of a side, but very important aside there. Proactive language is another very, very interesting thing. Reactive language and proactive language are very different. And it's interesting to monitor your own language and that of people around you and see how that is. There's nothing I can do versus let's look at our alternatives. I can't versus I choose is a very interesting one. So we can normally do stuff. We just sometimes the price is higher than we want. I must versus I prefer. And if only versus I will. But let's look at another related and very, very powerful concept, which is a very simple one called the circles of concern versus the circle of influence. So the circles of concern could include lots of things for business people and particularly Amazon sellers, the economy, the trade wars between Trump and China, particularly Chinese sellers, of course, algorithm changes famously every 5 seconds. The entire Amazon Facebook community of communities sort of blows up about this. Versus the circle of influence, which would be things like the choices you make, product development and making a cool new product, personnel choices and who you hire, very important, and launch strategies you're using as well, plus other marketing channels you might be using as well. There are really a couple of different focuses that you can bring to bear in relation to this circle of concern, what worries you or what you're aware of, and the circle of influence, stuff that's under your control. So a proactive focus is when you work on things you can do something about. For example, you know, the things we talked about, product choice, who you work with, choosing to send an email to somebody 15 times in a week to chase them up. That is working on what's under your control. And this causes your circle of influence to increase. So working on the stuff you're under control tends over time to increase what you have control over. Whereas reactive focus is when people focus in their circle of concern, they focus on circumstances over which they have no control, such as the wider economy, Trump and the trade wars, Brexit, or whatever it is. And this tends to cause their circle of influence to shrink over time because they're busy focusing on negative things. They're not putting the time into the things that they would have influence on. They also tend to attract people who talk negatively or spend their life focused on things that are in the circle of concern. You know, like attracts like, and these things tend over time to become self-perpetuating as well. So to expand the circle of influence, it's very important to focus on what you have influence over. And just to clarify what proactivity isn't, it's not about being pushy, aggressive, or insensitive. And that can sometimes be mixed up with assertive, I suppose, which I think is different again from aggressive, but it's different as well from proactive. What it is, it's smart and value-driven at its best. Proactive people read reality and they know what's needed. So in other words, it's not about chasing your supplier around with a big stick. It might be, you know what, this person's not interested in discussing the details of my product with me because I haven't spent a single penny with them yet. Maybe the right thing to do is order a sample for $50, which in the wider scheme of things is very little. And then that shows them I'm serious. And then they'll get on Skype chat with me or email or whatever mechanism you're using to communicate and actually get into the details of what you want to discuss about your product, for example. Yeah, tiny example. A very key concept that we need to drill in is the idea of to have versus to be. And that's kind of another mental focus rather than anything else. To have, for example, it contains a lot of if onlys. If only my boss would stop doing this to me. If only my wife would stop shouting at me. If only I didn't have different finances. If only Trump weren't in power, whatever it is. And the B's circle of influence is full of being. So being wiser, being kind, whatever it is. So I can be more patient, be wiser, be kind, be more courageous. These are character qualities. So proactivity relates to inside out, which is the previous thing that we explored from the seven habits. And proactive is about changing from the inside out to be different and by being different to effect positive change in what's out there. Let's retake that. Proactivity is about change from the inside out to be different and by being different to effect positive change in what's out there. So if I really want to improve my situation, I can work on the one thing over which I have control, which is myself. By the way, all these things with quote marks around them are by Stephen Covey. I'll let you know if there's other things that are not by him. So another concept is the other end of the stick. So a couple of things, first of which is consequences. So the results of actions. While we're free to choose our actions, we're not free to choose the natural consequences of our actions. Consequences are governed by a natural law, which is an interesting way of looking at things. When we pick up one end of the stick, we pick up the other. So another part of the circle of concern is mistakes, another end of stick things. The definition of mistakes is there are times when we pick the wrong stick, our choices have brought wrong consequences. If we made the choice over again, we'd make it differently. We call these choices mistakes, and they're the second thing that merits our deep thought. So mistakes are really, really part and parcel of life, and you cannot make no mistakes. That would be being perfect, and that would be a weird world. No, that doesn't exist, but it's what we do next that matters, I think. So handling mistakes is very, very important indeed, because we're going to make them. And if the bigger you want to grow, the bigger the quality of the mistakes, the bigger the size of the mistakes, as well as the size of the successes. I think that's a given, really. So the proactive approach to a mistake is to acknowledge it instantly, correct, and to learn from it. But to not acknowledge a mistake, not to correct it and learn from it is a mistake of a different order. This second mistake, the cover-up, causes far greater injury. It is not what others do or even our mistakes that hurt us most. It is our response to these things. Now, in order to give you some honesty, I've got one thing, for example, that has been at the back of my mind for months, literally months, and it's ridiculous because it was only going to take about 30 minutes work to deal with, which is that I've had one product in the USA suspended on the allegations of intellectual property infringement. And you know what? They probably have a fair cop. You know, it's probably true because I ordered these things about 4 years ago when I knew nothing about due diligence, really, and nobody had given me any guidance on that. Fortunately, now we're able to give you guidance on that. And there is guidance out there. But anyway, so instead of dealing with this, Amazon just suspended the listings and I was wanting to discontinue it anyway because it had got too competitive. So it was the same as a lot of other things out there, which is not surprising because probably everyone was copying the same pattern, right? But the point is, though, I've only taken to today, the day of recording, for me to deal with it. And you know why? It's because I was going to talk about proactivity. And I thought, I'm going to be such a hypocrite if I go on there and talk about proactivity and dealing with mistakes. And I don't address this thing that's been niggling me. It's not going to make a lot of financial difference to me. You know, it might result in saving $1,500 or something. It may not. But the point is, I needed to contact those guys and say, okay, let's make a deal. We'll see what happens next. That's not the point. The point is, I could have done this months ago. So we all have our bugbears of things that we put off or don't address. So sins of omission, i.e. what you don't do, are normally better than the sins of commission, i.e. what you do do, unless you're acting under great, you know, anger or something. Mostly it's about what we've not done that we should do that we need to look at. So there's an example from me. So I'm fessing up. I'm sure you have your things like that as well. So be honest with yourself about where you made a mistake and just get on with correcting it. You know, don't leave it months like I just have. At least I've got down to it now though. So another very important self-awareness leads to awareness of weaknesses and the need for improvement and underused talents as well. You may find that there are things that you're very good at that you should be doing more of. And then imagination and independent will lead to making promises and setting goals and staying true to them. So there's a combination of characters, characteristics that we need to develop. Self-awareness, but that's not enough, is then got to have imagination enough to make the leap to go, how can I deal with this? And then the willpower to follow through. So making promises and goals is really, really important. Making promises and setting goals. So yeah, and promises to other people is great, but it starts with promises to ourselves. So two ways to put ourselves in control of our own lives immediately are to make a promise and keep it, and to set a goal and work to achieve it. By making and keeping promises to ourselves and others, little by little, our honor becomes greater than our moods, which comes back to the idea very simply of following through on things because you've decided they're important values to you rather than just reacting on impulse or feelings of the moment. We come back to this intersection of knowledge, skill, and desire, which is the definition of habit that Covey gives us, which we talked about in earlier videos and talks. These are within our control, so knowledge, skill, and desire. And we can work on any one of them to improve the balance of the three. For example, if we feel a bit worn out and our sort of mojo is low and desire is low, we can do things about that. We can take a little break from trying to come up with a magic product. We can, you know, get ourselves in better physical shape, look after ourselves more in terms of what we eat, and you know, take some time with loved ones and family. That can help. Sometimes we need to talk to somebody else who's doing really well, and that can inspire us. There are various different ways to deal with the desire thing. Something that takes a bit more work and more self-awareness, I think, actually. Skill and knowledge are pretty easy, really, because it's obviously you can build skill only by doing stuff, although it's not so obvious that sometimes we need to be humble about the fact that we need to be at like skill level one, and we need to make sure we progress to skill level two before we get to skill level 10. And that's kind of obvious in most real life, but for some reason, when it comes to internet marketing, people get sold the idea, I guess, by a lot of internet marketers. Hopefully I'm trying not to be among them, which is the idea that you can go from zero to 100 in 3 seconds. And most people just need to go one level at a time. We talked about that again in the last video. So do watch that series. If you want to catch the videos and the podcast and indeed the related show notes, amazingfba.com/mindset. And we'll put all of the episodes relating to that here at that place. And then knowledge. I would say of all three, that's the easiest to get. In fact, it's easy to get overwhelmed with knowledge about the Amazon thing and e-commerce in general. But I would say it's probably best to be very selective as to where you get your knowledge from and what you need to know at any given point. And again, if you've got a well-structured course or a person who can take you through a process, one hand-holding one-to-one, they will be able to give you an idea of what you need to know at any given point. And my advice is don't learn too much. Just learn what you need to know for now. Just in time learning, as Tim Ferriss calls it, not just in case learning. And I think it's very important to get that habit as well. So some rewards and some warnings. First of all, people who exercise their embryonic freedom will expand that freedom. So it's that focusing on what you have influence over will expand that circle of influence. But equally, people who do not will find they're acting out the scripts written by their parents, it's the genetic determinism or the psychic determinism, by associates and by society, so the environmental determinism idea. So determinism is real unless we take determined action, to coin a phrase, against it. But we can exercise that freedom. We have to be very conscious of it, and we have to push against that environmental and psychic and genetic determinism energy that's pushing against us, if you want. Samuel Johnson had an excellent quote about this. He who hath so little knowledge of human nature as to seek happiness by changing anything but his own disposition will waste his life in fruitless efforts and multiply the grief he proposes to remove. That's pretty powerful stuff. I'm going to read it again, because this is Samuel Johnson's wisdom, and he's a man worth quoting and thinking about. He who hath so little knowledge of human nature as to seek happiness by changing anything but his own disposition will waste his life in fruitless efforts and multiply the grief he proposes to remove. So what I take from that is basically, if you're trying to work on anything but that which is under your control, and specifically your own stuff, really, your own trash and your own strengths as well, you're wasting your time, because you won't be happy and you won't be successful. And that's really, I have to say, I found that to be true in my life as well. I mean, this is a really profound difference of mindset and approach to the traditional conversations you have in and around the Amazon space. But I don't think that these are irrelevant. On the contrary, I think if you get this stuff down, the other stuff will flow. You know, yes, you need to get the tactics and stuff, but that will happen. So forget the 30-day guarantee that everyone has on the Amazon courses. I mean, I'll probably put one on the PLP course as well, but that's more to deal with your fear, right? What we really need is a 30-day challenge. So instead of looking for something that somebody else promises you, try and promise something yourself and challenge yourself. So here's the 30-day challenge, which is from Covey. Where does it apply? Well, it applies to lots of areas: how we make and keep commitments, how we respond, for example, to an irate customer, how we view our problems, where we focus our energies, the language you use. And you can try it in different contexts. You can try it in your job, your family, your marriage, and of course, for the purposes of this podcast, very much try it on your Amazon business. Or if you haven't really got a business yet, very, very much got to apply this stuff to building a business, or you'll never have something to call a business in the first place. So here's the challenge: for 30 days, work only in your circle of influence. Make small commitments, but keep them. Be a model, not a judge. In other words, model, not a catwalk model or anything like that, but just, I think, model the behaviors you want others to see. So in other words, if you want people to be kind, be kind. If you want people to show consideration for your time, be respectful of others' time, etc. When you make a mistake, try to admit it, correct it, and learn from it, and try and do that immediately. That's a very good discipline. I really try and practice that these days. Of course, being no saint, I constantly mess up, but that's okay, because I can admit that I messed up on that as well, as long as you do it. This is powerful stuff. And by the way, it goes down very well with other people, colleagues, friends, whatever. Don't blame or accuse, and work on things you have control over. And if you think, this is a very important little note as well, if you think the problem is out there, stop yourself. That thought is the problem. So in other words, the thought of the problem is out there, not inside. That is probably the biggest problem of the lot. And you know what? If the problem is out there, then there may be some portion of what you do that can be in here. In other words, you can control something about the situation. If not, I wouldn't focus on it. I mean, I just refuse to read newspapers these days, because I just find that I get very aware my circle of concern grows, and it takes time and energy away from my circle of influence. It's not because I want to live a myopic life, or I don't know care about what's happening to other people, but I can help other people best by working on what I can do for them. That's my personal take. So some specific exercises by Covey, 4 exercises. Number 1, based around language. For a full day, listen to your language and that of the other people around you. Notice how often you hear reactive phrases like, if only, I can't, or I have to. Exercise 2, planning your responses. Identify a situation where, based on past experience, you would have reacted badly. For example, being told that your listing has been suspended by Amazon, or being told by a supplier that they can't make the thing you wanted to, or it's going to be more expensive, or being told by your inspection company that your shipment has failed inspection. Those are just 1 or 2 rather minor examples that we've all experienced, right? Review the situation. And think, how could you respond proactively? And then create a video in your mind of yourself acting better and commit to changing your response. Again, this may sound a bit woo-woo, but to the limited extent that I've tried to do this, not so much around Amazon, but certainly some things in my life that I've reacted badly and angrily to in the past, it really does help. Surprisingly, focusing on this stuff actually does help. And you just have a calmer day, and you've got more energy to spare for what you really need to do. And it's, you know, the person who benefits most from this when I do it is me. It's not other people. Although, as a lovely side effect, other people definitely appreciate it in my experience. So definitely worth trying this stuff. Exercise three, specific problem. Select a problem from your work or personal life that's frustrating to you. Determine whether it is an indirect, direct, or no control problem, and then identify the first step you can take to solve it. I mean, that's so important. And then take that step. That's the ultimate thing, right? And by the way, this is absolutely the way to live as an entrepreneur. I cannot say it strongly enough. Now, if you find something's a no control problem, I really think it's an indulgence to spend time and energy on it. I mean, more than a tiny fraction. It's not going to do any good to anybody, least of all you, least of all your business. So if something's out of your control, just forget it. You know, if there's something you can do about it to protect yourself about bad consequences, do it. If there's something you can directly control, find, identify the next step and then take that step. Right? Another related discipline is simple. Get into the habit of asking, great, what's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? Just constantly, that should be a refrain. It should be a mantra for you, because if you identify an opportunity, then great. What's the next step? Okay, we've identified a problem with your lawyer, that there's a legal issue. Okay, what's the next step? What can we do about this? You've identified a potential cash flow problem 3 months down the line with your account. Okay, what's the next step? What do we need to do about this? Okay, it might be create a cash flow forecast, set some money aside, you know, reduce some of your spending on advertising, whatever. There's always stuff that you can do. And then there's always going to be stuff you could worry about and will keep you awake at night if you focus on it. So just make sure you don't. I can't say again how important this is. And again, I mess this up sometimes, and sometimes I get it right. And when I get this right, it always moves my business forward, like big time. Really important. And then finally, the 30-day test. Take the 30-day proactivity test, which is basically what we're talking about, doing this stuff for 30 days. Be aware of the change in your circle of influence. So be aware of how much power you have over your life and around, you know, influence on the people around you and in your business. And I think you'll be agreeably surprised by just how powerful this stuff is. Particularly becoming aware before you then take action is really, really important as well. And this isn't like a quick hack thing. In a way, you can get quick results. I think 30 days is quite quick, but it's not a press button and get instant result. You know, it's not a silver bullet. So I truly, truly believe that being proactive is the only way to win true of rewards in business as in life. And if you don't have that habit, that's okay. Don't beat yourself up, because that's just reactive, right? But just focus on your circle of influence and let your circle of concern wither. It's not like you shouldn't have any awareness of the wider economy or the news and geopolitics, because that can impact your decisions. But there is a big difference from knowing that Trump is putting some tariffs on from China and spending, you know, hours obsessing about that versus becoming aware of that and then being proactive. Find out exactly what products are affected. Does that include the ones you're selling? If so, what is the next step? Should you still sell them, but just to take account of the price increase for you in terms of import prices by increasing your prices? You know, do you just need to look at your margins and recalculate them? What is it? You know, there's always going to be something you can do. So I really, if you take one thing from this entire mindset series, I really think the proactivity piece is probably the most important characteristic of successful entrepreneurs versus the ones who don't succeed that I have yet seen. The ones that I know are massive, massive action takers, and they like taking action, and it's just a habit. It's a way of life. So the action, the external action, I believe comes from an inner proactive focus, like what can I do about this? There's always a question. So I hope that helps. Great to talk about this stuff. It's lovely to revisit The Seven Habits, because it's such a powerful book. I'm really rereading it. It just makes me realize just how true that is. Now, a lot of books age badly. This one, I think, is just getting better with age and becoming more relevant and something we need to hear more in the Amazon sort of discourse out there. So I hope that's been helpful to you. As ever, I'd love to hear your responses. Do come and join us in the Amazing FBA Facebook community, which is amazingfba.com/FBF, as in face, B as in book. There are about 1,300 members there now. And come and give your thoughts, ask your questions. By all means, ask questions about, you know, nitty gritty things like ranking, launch, niche research, sourcing problems. No problem at all. We're always in there. Rob and I will be in there every couple of days and check things out and give responses every 2 or 3 days, and lots of other people there as well. But I'd love to hear your thoughts about this mindset stuff, because I don't feel that this is discussed enough in the right way within the Amazon space. There's plenty of it out there in the sort of life coaching world, if you like. And then in Amazon, there's plenty of discussion of niching and niche tools and, you know, tactical stuff. Facebook ads is all the rage, chatbots, whatever. And don't get me wrong, we're covering all that stuff. But, you know, I think this is the discussion that's needed. So thanks very much for joining us on this journey, and speak to you in the next podcast. Do you need some help with your Amazon business or your fledgling would-be Amazon business? If so, then we may be able to help. You may need one of the three C's named by Taki Moore, fantastic Australian business coach, a course, a coach, and or a community. You may need all three, but it may be that one of these particular ones will help you. What I'm going to talk about today is a course, which is the thing that I've developed last because I think it's the hardest thing to get right. Getting help. If you're just starting out and you need training or you need more training, the PLP course, the private label process course, might help you. Go to amazingfba.com/PLP, P for Peter, L for Lima, P for Peter, to find out more about our philosophy and in depth how that works. It's launching in late October 2018, but you can sign up now for the VIP Launch Club if you want to, and we'll tell you more about that in a second. It's designed to take you through baby steps, from baby steps to mastery of private labeling, how to get started with Amazon skills, how to get started fast with low risk, very important, and then how to find the private label product of your dreams, but after you've got the basic skills down and how you got started with a generic product. Then we talk about low stress sourcing from China and Europe and how to launch for maximum impact as well. Just to give you a flavor of the sort of response we get from our clients, Tess Freeman says, Michael, thank you very much for a really useful mentoring session. It's so helpful to do the big picture vision stuff with you as well as go through the detail. The masterminds are always incredibly helpful as well. I think your training will be excellent to fill a huge void in the UK for decent Amazon education with a healthy dose of realism, integrity, and practicality. And that is exactly what we're aiming at. Realism, practicality, integrity. It sounds like our sort of mission statement almost. So how does it work? Well, it's pretty straightforward. We're going to focus on the key skills of niching, niche research, sourcing, how to get stuff, and launching, how to get it out there and get it visible and selling. Again, if you want to find out more, amazingfba.com/PLP. There's in-depth training in exactly how to find the perfect niche to sell into, all the details you need to source from China, the latest but simplest launch strategies, and how to learn from your wins and from your learning moments, aka mistakes as well. So step by step, we take it one phase at a time. So we assume you know nothing, and we'll start off with retail arbitrage. If you know about this, you can skip over it. There's still plenty for you here. Basically, sourcing from retail stores, listing, and then fulfilling into Amazon, shipping into Amazon yourself, or fulfilling yourself if you want to go down to the post office for a while, and then learning the basics. What do we learn here? We just learn basically the Amazon basics of how to ship in there, how to create listings, how to list against existing products, and the sort of basics of Amazon's systems. Then phase one is where the rubber starts to hit the road. We do our traditional type niche research. We source some products, but this time we don't go straight for ordering thousands of dollars worth of product, but we take it easy and try and spend less than $1,000 to test the market out. And then we do a little test launch, and we learn from that not only how to go through the whole process, but we learn about a particular marketplace. Is it a good place to sell into or not? Then phase two is private labeling. This is more the traditional stuff, by which time not only do we know more what we're doing and we're more confident, but we've explored a particular marketplace and we have some data to go on, which is always a great idea, your own data, in-house data. And then from there, you can private label with more confidence, do a big launch and really take off in a safe, confident way. That's going to take you around 6 months on average. Could be more, could be less, depending on you and your circumstances, really. So we have an offer for you. If you want to join the VIP Launch Club, that is for the first 20 people to sign up. Only for the first 20 people to sign up, we'll get them three or four bonuses, at least three. To sign up for that, go to amazingfba.com/PLP-invite, or at least to find out more about what's there. First bonus is a one-to-one mentoring call with myself or Rob Sleeth, depending on whose expertise is most relevant for your needs. That's currently worth at least £100 at current market rates, probably more, because I'm trying to edge my prices up over time, as of course like any good business should. So that's a very valuable bonus, and you can use that for anything you want. If you're just about to source a load of products from China, you can check that it's the same thing to do. If you are just starting out, maybe I can help you with your niche research and just guide you through the roadblocks. And if you're about to launch something, then we can probably get a really good launch strategy mapped out for you. The VIP Club bonus number two is 50% off any and all future courses we bring out. We're planning on some serious stuff, in collaboration with deep expertise, people who have deep expertise in the next few months, including the 10K product development process, how to create unique products, which is kind of the next obvious step after private labeling, which means you have more defensible products, keep higher volume, higher margin, I should say, more profit, and also it'll last for longer. So really powerful stuff. And in conjunction with that, the 10K brand development process, how to create a truly deep brand that has the potential to become a sellable asset. And by the way, the hint is it ain't about your logo or a cutesy name. Important as those are, it goes much deeper than that. And we'll be getting into that in that course. We'll be 50% off for that for you if you are a VIP launch member. And finally, the other bonuses are simply going to be in response to you. We're going to ask you what you really want for Christmas. And I can't promise we'll do everything you ask, but we'll certainly put it on a list of suggestions. And if it's viable for us to do in any way, shape, or form, yeah, you got it. We'll do it for you. So bear in mind, being proactive is the only way to win true rewards. You're responsible for your life and your business. That said, though, sometimes the best action, the most proactive people know when they need help and they get out and they reach for help, and if needed, they pay for help. So it's not going to be for everyone, but it's at least worth checking out. I think that the philosophy of the PLP course, if nothing else, is worth checking out to make you think through what it is you're at in this Amazon business and what a wise course of action might be. So thanks for listening, and speak to you in the next podcast. Cheers.